Pleasant Sabbath to each one of you. It's indeed a pleasure to be back in the Joy of Troy Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I want to say thank you for Brother Langley for the introduction, and also Pastor Miguel, who we spent some time today together, and for the church right here at Joy of Troy for the invitation to be here with you. I want to really spend some good time with the church and with the specifically with the men during this weekend, and I look forward to having you and having your friends and your neighbor, so that together we can have some good time in the Lord. What do you say? Yeah. Amen. I like to spend time analyzing and sharing with you the words of the Lord from the book of St. Mark. And I want to invite you to open your Bible in the book of St. Mark, chapter 2. And we're going to stay there for our entire sermon. Book of St. Mark, chapter 2, verses 1. And we're going to be going through verses 11. I would like to, first of all, read a few verses and then go into the introduction of my message. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And to start cutting short, it was the house of Peter. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come night unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Verse 5, and last as I read, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sin be forgiven thee. There are many sons and daughters of God gathered here tonight, and we are all in one of those categories. And I want to tell you that tonight the Lord promised forgiveness of sin. Imagination, the excellence of friendship. That's the topic of my sermon tonight. Some people have problems with the word imagination, because the first thing they think is somebody sitting somewhere and having some deep meditation and doing some kind of exercises that maybe will create something that is out of space and something overnatural or outside the normal. But imagination is the ability of forming mental images. It's the ability to form sensation and concept in a moment when they are not perceived through sight, hearing, or any other sense. Imagination is the work of the mind that helps create what is not yet formed. Imagination helps provide meaning to experience and understanding to knowledge. And from that, I will say that imagination is greater than knowledge. It is a fundamental facility through which people make sense of the word, and it also plays a key role in the learning process. And I'm going to give you a few things now, because the topic that we just read in the Bible has a lot to do with imagination. Imagination is about integration, integrating your vision with your creativity. It's integrating your business with your communication. It's integrating your relative with your friends. It's integrating your above the line with your below the line. Imagination is integrating the physical with the spiritual. That's where we need to come to the point to see how God can make us whole, not just in the spiritual aspect of our life, but also in the physical. The healing of the body works along with the healing of the soul. To deliver this, the church must work with the community. Friends need to collaborate with enemies, and the young needs to get together with the old. And husband must go and shop with some time with their wife. It's integration. Imagine the word. Let's do some exercise now. Imagine the word. Imagine how the war that is taking place in the Middle East, how those Muslim countries right now, the riots that are taking place in England, how much natural disaster. Right now, this morning, they counted 6 tropical storms in the Caribbean Sea, one behind the other. Imagine the world without all that mess. Imagine the world without all that mess. Imagine the United States of America. Just imagine the United States of America without the economical crisis that we're heading right now. Probably a second recession, of which we might not be able to recover because we have no money. The other one, we did have a little stash, but now there is none. But imagine the United States where there is no violence. On Thursday, 11:45 in the morning, the principal of the Memphis Seventh-day Adventist Academy was stabbed to death by a 17-year-old student. Imagine the United States without that mess. Imagine that there is no one person walking with a gun in their hand and shooting 8, 12, 14 people in a shopping store. We need to start imagine certain things in order to make differences in the world. Imagine New York, the whole state of New York. We just passed, I say we just passed because I live here. And once it is approved, then everybody is a part of it. But that doesn't mean that I supported it. The gay marriage, the same-sex marriage, it was passed, it was approved. Now, imagine the world, New York, doing some justice to the people who actually have certain difference in beliefs. Imagine Troy, the city where this church is located. Imagine the neighborhood, the church, but I want you to imagine your own family now. How is it that you want your family to be? Imagine yourself being the best husband, the best wife, the best father, the best mother. Imagine yourself being the best child in the family. Imagine yourself doing something to change the world. But ask yourself, what is it that I need to change? What is it that I have to experience? How can I be a better man? How can I be a better brother, a better father? How can I really be a better citizen in my community? The story of the man with paralysis will give us a few lessons that we need to learn tonight. And I want to take you back there. Let us take it from verses 3 and 4. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born four. The Bible says that four men brought a paralytic on a mat, on a poor man's bed, hoping to get him to Jesus. And I'm going to make a blunt statement. If your friends cannot take you to Jesus, then it's time to get new friends. I'm going to repeat it for those who probably are watching us online. I say that if your friends cannot take you to Jesus, then it's time to get new friends. On the other side, are you taking your friends to Jesus? Who were these four guys? Is the question to ask. Because these four guys had this poor man in his poor bed. It was just a mat, a piece of rod, and they just grabbed him by the corner and carry him to Jesus. Who were those guys? Just four philanthropists, and that they took this guy on and say, let's do this guy a favor. Well, I don't think that today's society we have people who are just walking on the street and taking folks like this and say, let's do this guy a favor, let's take him to JCPenney and buy him new clothes. It's very weird to find that. It's very weird to find people doing these things today. So these four guys, first of all, they were genuine friends. And I'm going to tell you why. Because only genuine friends can do certain things for friends. They were obstacles that they have to face in order for them to do this. First of all, they have to face the press of the crowd. And you know, in the moment when you feel that you're going to be embarrassed by doing something to somebody, usually we get shy or we quit. So I'm not going to be embarrassed for this guy. But these four guys were willing to do that. Second, they have to climb a ladder. In this day, with the law and worker compensation issue that are in the state of New York, I don't think that there are many people willing to climb a ladder to help somebody. Do you think that? You need to think about this, because these guys were willing to do that. They're willing to put themselves at risk. Not only that, they broke up the roof of a house that in the beginning of the passage say that is Peter's house. It was not even their own home. And second, they interrupt the preacher. You don't do those things. They interrupt the preacher. And I believe maybe they pay for the repair. You know, it's always good to know that they did something for it. But they went through the embarrassment and the shock. And they probably were facing arrest as well. Because if Peter has put on a, you know, has called the police or do something, these guys were going to have a serious challenge there. But they were willing to do what it took to help a friend to get to Jesus. That's the point here. They were willing to do what it took to help a friend to get to Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. Friendship, and we're talking about the excellence of friendship. Friendship is very hard to be found in these days. Some people make enemies instead of friends because it is less trouble. You don't have to deal with them. Your enemy just pass by and see them, don't even say hello. But if you meet your friends on the road, you have to stop, you have to say hello, you have to spend some time, shake hand, sometimes even give a hug. So it's less trouble. You don't hear what they have to say. You don't hear their story every day. And that's why we don't make many friends. Now, there is one famous say by George Washington. He say, associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation. For it is better to be alone than in bad company. Now, this guy, this paralytic, I know he took that statement from George Washington. And he said, I want to associate myself with some good people. Well, I hope George Washington learned that from the Bible. If you really want to know who your friends are, just make one mistake. The Bible says that they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd. Have you thought about this statement? They could not get to Jesus because of the multitude that was at the door. The incident there was not necessarily just that the door was closed. It was that the people could not get there because there were other people between them and Jesus. Now, there are many multitudes today that we face in our life. Some folks cannot come to Jesus because of the job that they have. Some others because of relationship that they keep. And those are multitude that block your way to Jesus. And there are those who have personal ambition that does not allow them to come to Jesus. And perhaps habits, drugs, sexuality, and many other things that we can put in the list. Many Palestinian dwellings, like this house, had what they call an stairway leading to a flat roof in the side of the house. So the men went onto the roof. They did not measure their possibility with the inability of other people. They could not look at the crowd and say, it is impossible, because not even they have been able to make it. You know, you have to evaluate the power that God has given in you. And I want to let you know that the link between the word imagination and this sermon is here now. This guy who is on this bed, lying in there for years probably, I can imagine him telling his four friends, don't stay here with me. Just walk the stair up and cover the roof and let me down to Jesus. The power of imagination, creating what is not yet been formed, opening doors when there are walls. They did not measure their possibility with the inability of other. The fact that other can make it does not mean that you cannot make it. The fact that other have been waiting in a room for a long time there doesn't mean that you have to go there and make the same amount of time. The fact that some people have not yet be successful in achieving certain things in their life does not mean that you have to go through the same thing. The standard of society cannot dictate your future. The only thing that dictates your future is the standard of heaven. What God has set for you, what God has designed, the purpose that He has put in your life from the time when you were born. You know, my brothers and sisters, these men were challenged to walk through the stairway that was leading to a flat roof. There are times, my brothers and sisters, that we have to keep on walking, even when the circumstances are against us. There are times when the probability of success are minimal, but you got to keep on walking. You have to keep going. You have to keep moving. When the physician has given up on you, and they say, well, my lady, impossible, we cannot even do surgery. You can't just give up. You have to keep on going. When there are times that you face death in the family and you feel that because your closest relative has passed on, has died, it's not time to quit, it's not time to give up, God still have a plan for you. When the finances have run dry, and I'm going to say this one, when the economy of the United States, you feel it right on your pocket, at that time is not the time yet to quit. At the point of dealing with a divorce, it's not the time to quit. It's the time to keep going. It's the time to keep and walk through the stairway that leads to the flat roof. In the wake of an unfaithful partner, it's not the time to quit. It's the time to keep going. After digging through the roof, probably a composite of grass and clay, they made an opening above Jesus and they lowered the paralyzed man before him. Now imagine what is happening. I don't know if your imagination is right there, but my mind right now is in that house where Peter is. I was looking at some pictures how those Palestinian houses were in those days. But the question in this is, what do you do when you find yourself in the presence of God? Imagine now that you are right there in the presence of God. That your bed, the only thing that you have, your back has been against that bed for such a long time, and now you find yourself right there in the presence of God, powerless, but with great imagination. There is fullness of joy at the presence of God. That paralytic was filled with gladness. There is healing for the broken spirit in the presence of God. There is happiness for the sad, strength for the fainting. There is restoration for the wounded and abused in the presence of God. There is power in the presence of God. There is no limitation in the presence of God. No limitation. Criticism loses its power in the presence of God. The Bible says that those who were there were criticizing what Christ did with this man. They were saying, but who gave this man power to say, your sins are forgiven you? In the presence of God, there is no place for criticism. And religion becomes secondary to worship. In the presence of God, there is a sense of adoration. There is a sense of holiness that you can stop it. You have to say, praise God, hallelujah. Because in the presence of God is where excellence arises. And that's when Christ said to this man, arise. He chose the word arise. He could have said, get up. He could have said, you know, you've been there so long, man, just go to your home. But he used the word arise. He said, arise. Arise does not only mean to strengthen your feet and stand up. Arise means take in yourself a sense of happiness, a sense of holy pride, and stand up on your feet and show to the world that the one that is telling you arise is Lord, is God, is the Savior, is the King, and is the soon coming Savior that is coming for his people. Arise, he said. We got to do the possible. God will do the impossible. As I said to you, imagination is greater than knowledge. I want to take you to these verses 9 to 11. The Bible said, after the discussion that they have there, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins are forgiven you, or just to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that he may not know the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sin, I say unto thee, arise, take up your bed, and go thy way into thine house. Let us take a minute here now. Because what Christ is telling this man to do is a message that we need to understand clear today. Take up your bed. First of all, the challenges that we face will not longer drive our life. The problems that have been carrying us, the circumstances that have been taking us around, that old bed where our back was against to, is not longer where we belong. Someone more powerful than that bed has said to us, arise, take up thy bed. So the bed that where he was laying on his back, now he has the bed on his back. You know what that means? My problem, my circumstances are not longer driving me. Now I am handling them. And he walks around and he manages them. He put them down when it's time to put them down. He takes them back when it's time to take them back. You have to get to that point in your relationship with Christ. You cannot let the circumstances of life drive you. Many people lose their job because they cannot handle family issues. Many people don't excel in school because they cannot deal with a past that is haunting them. There are many people today who cannot have a happy relationship in their marriage simply because of the past. We got to change that course of life. Christ is telling us, arise. And when we arise with a sense of pride and a sense of godliness that God has done it for us because we have been in his presence, then he is going to give us the ability to walk with him. He's going to give us the ability not just to uncover the roof, but he's going to give us the ability to even help others to come to him. My brothers and sisters, the next thing that Christ said to this gentleman was, go thy way into your home. Into your home means reconciliation. Let others see the change and the transformation that God has worked on you. And not only they are going to see the change and the transformation, not only they are going to see that you are a new man, a new father, a new brother, a new son. They are not only going to see that things have happened lately in your life, but they are going to also say, we have never seen it in this fashion. I never saw this guy so happy in his life. I never saw him smiling so much. I never saw him so prosperous. I never saw him such a charming. I never saw him that way before. He is indeed a changed man. This is the work that God wants to do on you, my brother, my sister. This is what he is looking for, are we willing to allow him to do this work today? Are we willing to put ourselves into the position where we find ourselves in the presence of God? First of all, evaluate your relationship. Make sure that your relationship, friendships, is either taking you to Jesus or you taking them to Jesus. There is only one way, and it's Jesus' way. It's either they take you there or you take them there. No reverse. Second, make sure that even in the event of going through hardship, you take charge of those problems, because you are not longer walking alone. You're walking with Jesus. And he said clearly, come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, because he is going to take the yoke with you, and he's going to walk with you. Your burdens will be lighter because you now share it with Jesus Christ. My brothers, my sister, may God bless us today. May God continue guiding us, and as we look forward to growing in Christ and to develop a relationship and to develop a sense of excellence in our life, let us trust in him that he can do it for us in the moment when we are in his presence. May God bless you. Amen. I want to invite you to pray with me. And before we even pray, I want to probably open this moment for if there is anyone that probably want to be recognized or remembered in a special prayer, just raise your hand, and I will just make mention about your hand being raised. Thank you so much, and I'll be praying for you, and whichever the issues are, whichever the matter are, whichever the needs are, I believe that with faith, God will supply each one of them. He did it for others. He will do it for you. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father, thank you for asking us to arise tonight. To arise to live with excellence. To arise to live in this world that lives without hope and without God. To live with a sense of godliness. To live with a sense of happiness that only can be found in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the group that came tonight. And I ask you, Father, that as we study your word, as we pray tonight, as we sing songs, and as we read the scripture, your spirit will just come upon us and take charge, so that we will be transformed, we'll be challenged by the power of the Holy Spirit to become new creatures. I thank you, Lord, for the hands that were raised. And I pray that, Lord, that you will come down into this house today and let us feel thy presence in our midst. And I ask, Father, that you will take care of every need, every challenge, every difficulty, anything, Lord, that we brought to you today. I pray that according to your divine will, you will answer to our prayer. Father, probably some of us raise our hands because of some financial struggles. Probably some raise our hands because of some family conflicts. Some of us probably raise our hands because of health problem. And some probably because issues with ourselves, issue with the past. I pray, Lord, that whichever are those things that we face, you will help us. You will help us, Lord, to take our bed and walk, because we're walking with you now. That with faith, we will say, You're no longer going to dominate me. You're no longer going to take charge. Today I declare victory in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for giving us that power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. God bless you.